teachers in Emmanuel Missionary College, Elmshaven, St. Helena, California. September 23, 1903. To the teachers in Emmanuel Missionary College. To receive and practice the teachings of Him who is the way, the truth, and the life, is to gain eternal life. Christ gives this life to those who believe on Him, who reveal the faith that works by love and purifies the soul. His followers are to train themselves to practice the strictest integrity in all things. They are to be truthful in thought, word, and deed. They are to work with an eye single to the glory of God. Thus only can they be true representatives of Christ. He who accepts Christ accepts His yoke. He is linked up with Christ, and in all his work he is to cooperate with Christ. He is to speak no word, perform no act, that would misrepresent the high and holy principles by which the kingdom of Christ is governed. "Learn of me," said the great medical missionary, "for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Matthew 11:29-30. Daily in the school of Christ, we are to learn lessons of self-denial and cross-bearing. We are not to link up in counsel with worldly men. Our lives are not to be corrupted by the customs and practices of men who have sold themselves to the world. Never are we to consult with worldly lawyers as to how we may gain advantage over someone else. Never are we to play an underhand game to obtain means from the Lord's treasury for any use whatever. All that is worth gaining may be gained in strictly honorable lines. "All things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them," said Christ. Matthew 7:12. Making this our rule in the daily life, we shall be able to face men in the judgment, knowing that we have not misrepresented the high and holy principles of the law by which we shall be judged. Receiving the truth and performing the duties enjoined in the gospel, thus we give evidence to the world that we have been genuinely converted, and that we have been adopted into the family of God. By revealing a character like the character of Christ, we show that God has called and chosen us. Christ can work only through those who will unite with Him. By obeying the truth and exercising faith, every child of God may receive the help of His mighty power. But many who are called do not respond to the truth. They choose to follow their own way and be guided by their own spirit. They are unclean vessels appointed unto wrath. Christ cannot obtain entrance to the hearts of those who work with the enemy of God. There is a great difference between the spirit of the world and the spirit of Christ. He who seeks, at all risk, to carry out his own plans and purposes is in co-partnership with Satan, entirely out of harmony with the plans and purposes of God. Only through the knowledge of God and of Christ can men come into harmony with the divine will. Growth in grace. The divine plan for the development of Christian character is set forth by the Apostle Peter as follows. "Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge." 2 Peter 1:2-5. Our teachers should strive to give the purest education in morality and religion. Our students should constantly be reaching out for Christian attainments. God has called us to glory and virtue, and these will be manifest in the lives of all who are truly connected with Jesus Christ. Verse 3. Their words will be truthful. they will practice the principles of temperance in all things. By a belief and practice of the truth, they will keep their appetites and passions under control. Those who indulge their sinful desires are unworthy of the name of Christians. Mark the divine plan for adding grace to grace, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 6 to 8. The life of the Christian is a constant effort to grow in grace and efficiency. He seeks to increase his talents, that he may do better service for the Master. He keeps close to the side of Christ, knowing that only by watchfulness and prayer and help from above can he be kept from sin. In order to work out the plans of God, men must cooperate with divine power. As they draw near to God and obtain the instruction given by Christ, they will daily learn how to avoid the snares of the enemy. The Christian graces are to be brought into the daily life. Giving all diligence, work on the plan of addition. Act your part in the fear of God. Reverence Him. Keep your souls in His love. Make no provision for uniting, even for a moment, with Satan to forward his schemes. Do not allow him to divert your mind from God's work to him. He knows your weakness. He knows just what inducements to present to lead you to follow his guidance. Refuse to serve him. Keep the Lord ever before you. Those who, while professing to be on Christ's side, yield themselves to the doing of unchristlike work greatly dishonor God. He will surely let his wrath fall on those who thus rob him of the glory due to him. He is displeased when men allow Satan to lead them to scheme and plot against the Lord's servants, making exceedingly difficult the work of those who are striving to exalt truth and righteousness. He who is chosen as a leader in the work of God is to reveal a holy temper and a Christ-like love. He is to make God his dependence. Unless he does this, he will be in danger of setting in operation movements that will hinder the work of God and of giving the impression that God is serving with the sinners in Zion. This has been done over and over again. Many souls will be lost because the guardians of the flock have cooperated with the prince of the power of the air to hedge up the way for the advancement of the work according to the directions left by Christ. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, if you follow this plan of addition, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verses 9, 10. Here is our eternal life insurance policy. Wherefore, Peter continues, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard, when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring unto themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. 2 Peter 1, verse 12, 13, 16 to 21, 2, 1 to 3. A warning of danger. Perilous times are before us. Everyone who has a knowledge of the truth should awake and place himself, body, soul, and spirit, under the discipline of God. Wake up, brethren, wake up. The enemy is on our track. We must be wide awake on our guard against him. We must put on the whole armor of God. We must follow the directions given in the spirit of prophecy. We must love and obey the truth for this time. This will save us from accepting strong delusions. God has spoken to us through his word. He has spoken to us through the testimonies to the church and through the books that have helped to make plain our present duty and the position that we should now occupy. The warnings that have been given, line upon line, precept upon precept, should be heeded. If we disregard them, what excuse shall we offer? The new theories in regard to God and Christ, as brought out in the Living Temple, are not in harmony with the teaching of Christ. The Lord Jesus came to this world to represent the Father. He did not represent God as an essence pervading nature, but as a personal being. Christians should bear in mind that God has a personality as verily as has Christ. Christ came to our world to restore in man the moral image of God. He came to bring fallen human beings power to obey God's commandments, that in them might be restored the divine character, that their lives might be adorned with the holiness of God. Of those who are thus transformed in character, it is said, "Now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." Hebrews 11, verse 16. Christians are to represent Christ. They are to reveal his spirit and character. Those who are imbued with his spirit will have an intense love for everyone for whom he died, and will work earnestly to bring into the heavenly garner a harvest of souls. Filled with his spirit, they will be animated with the same desire to save sinners that animated Christ in his life work as a missionary sent of God. The enemy of Christ is intensely active. He seeks to take possession of human minds that he may bring in division, discord, and a party spirit. He seeks to create division among the people of God, that they may be weakened and that their influence for good on the world may be lessened. He presents scientific propositions that are contrary to Christ's teaching and contrary to the faith and the doctrines that have been outlined before us ever since the first proclamation of this message, doctrines that are sustained by the Scriptures. Our message is to be definitely proclaimed. We are to exalt the truths that were given to John on the Isle of Patmos, showing that the end is near. The Pope claims authority over the practice of many who do not recognize Christ as our only authority. He places himself in the position of God, and the weak and uninformed are kept from the knowledge that would reveal to them their privilege as children of God. We are to have no kings, no rulers, no popes among us. It is time for us diligently to heed the messages that have brought us out from the world.